who wrote a book called The Imperfect Board Member. It's actually a very good book. It's not how it sounds. But he's kind of a guru who goes around and worldwide and meets with churches and other Christian agencies to describe biblical structure. And you'll be happy to know that I met with him for a little bit of time and went through our structure of things. And he said we're a model that he would like to use in other forums. So I told him as long as there was royalty fees attached to it, we're perfectly fine with that. But his name is Jim Brown, and I went to him and I said, is that your actual name or is that a pseudonym? And he said, it's an actual pseudonym. He said, my real name is Jimmy Brown. So, you know, I thought that was quite good. Today we're looking at we've been walking through this series on self. And we began by looking at a new you, understanding how we can talk ourselves out of a bad mood. And then we examined our self-security, how secure we are is how we treat others. And this morning we're going to look at self-worth. We're looking at just one verse today, so this is going to be so easy for you. That's funny, isn't it? I mean, I said that with a straight face and all, almost. Well, let's jump in as you open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. As we look at the whole area of self-worth, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. There's a story about a man who was walking at night, and he saw another man who was searching for something, and he was right by a lamppost, and approaching, he asked the man what he was looking for, and the man, without even looking up, he replied, he said, well, I'm looking for my watch. And the first man asked him, he said, well, precisely where were you standing when you dropped your watch? And continuing his search, the man pointed a finger in the distance, and he said, actually, it was over there somewhere. And the first man said, well, then, sir, why are you looking for it here? You should be looking for it over there. Why are you looking for it over in this area? And looking up in frustration and meeting the first man's gaze, the searcher replied, he said, because, sir, the light is better over here. Some of us look for God in the wrong things. And often we look for God in how we feel about who we are. Well, self-worth is knowing that God views me as valuable. God views me as valuable. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, that is in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. God made him, that is Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, a lot of God's people, a lot of people that aren't Christians, but a lot of people that are Christians feel worthless. They think they're worthless. They believe they're worthless. Matter of fact, probably if you could survey the whole entire world, we'd find that there are probably more people that believe they are worthless than people who genuinely, truly believe that they have worth and value. How many of you have ever felt worthless in your life? Ever? Ever? Okay. I'm sure if asked how many of you still battle that, we'd still have a good number of hands go up. I want to give you a definition of the word worthless. It means, you're going to love this, good for nothing, no good, without value, a piece of junk, incapable, therefore not having anyone what would want, useless. However, the word worth or worthy means having qualities that make one desirable and valuable. God views me as valuable. I want everybody here this morning to say, I'm valuable. All right, you're going to be doing some talking today, so you better get ready. That's just our practice round. I believe when people feel bad about who they are inside, that just creates a lot of problems in their life. I believe that the majority of problems that the people have are a result of how they feel inside. This root of being worthless. Sometimes it moves into self-hatred and self-rejection. But we get good at covering it up. You know, we do. I'll give you an example. When I was in school, and I was in school, by the way, I would stand at the chalkboard. Have you ever had that happen? When you teachers could probably relate. I mean, you know, it's amazing. You come into class and you sit in your seat and you think, okay, now if I look away from the teacher, you know, I'm not going to be asked to come to the chalkboard and do something on the chalkboard. And so that would be me. I'd always put my head down or be searching for something on my desk or doing something when the question was asked. Okay, I'm going to have somebody come to the chalkboard. And then invariably the teacher just, it must be some kind of a skill, Ian, I don't know. But invariably the teacher would go, Devin, you know. And is that my name, you know? And I'd come to the chalkboard, and the teacher would ask the question, okay, finish this, you know, give the answer on the chalkboard. And that's when I'd start to shake, just walking up, picking up that piece of chalk. And I was very, very, I had problems with self-worth and my value, because what I went through in my life, and I was extremely shy. I know what you're thinking. You were shy? Hard to believe, I know. But there were times I'd stand at that chalkboard in the classroom, and I'd be shaking so much, holding that piece of chalk, because I didn't know the answer. I'd get back to my desk, and I'd be going, wait a minute, I knew the answer the whole time. But then as I grew up, I became bolder, you know. Bolder, I'm a teenager now. I can take on the world, you know. And almost harsh at times, harsh with my parents, hard, very critical, almost overbearing in the classroom. In fact, I remember one time on my report card, I don't know if you can relate, Ian, but my teacher put down something like this. Devin really enjoys talking all the time, you know. Both directions really were a front that I was putting up to hide the way that I really felt about who I was inside. Anybody bear witness with that? Sometimes we get real good at playing games with who we are. Most of the time, when people feel worthless, it's created by things that have happened to us in our past. Rejection, failure, criticism, abuses that have taken place. Somehow or another, the message has come to us at different times in our life that we just don't have value. We just don't have worth. And I know you may know this, but I just want to say at this point, I just want to say this. Be very, very careful how you talk to your children. Be extremely careful that in your conversation with them, you separate what they're doing from who they are. That's important. It's very important that we don't speak a lot of negative things to our children, because it can do a lot of damage. Listen, more than anything, children want their parents, those who are in authority over them, to convey to them that they have worth, that they have value. Matter of fact, why don't we just do this today? Why don't we just make a commitment before God in our heart that we will ask God to give us grace and mercy to just try to convey worth and value to everybody that we get around. Every single person that we meet, we will speak worth and value into them. That's world-changing. That's a revolution, friends. See, it's called the ministry of exhortation and edification. We're called to do it. We're commanded by our Lord to do that. I tell you, if you're looking for a ministry that's one there's not nearly enough participants in, we need more who are ready to sign up for the ministry of exhortation and edification. Sally Field said this. She said, it took me a long time not to judge myself through someone else's eyes. The way somebody else sees me. The devil doesn't seem to have any trouble using people's mouths to make people feel bad. But God has a harder time finding people to really take on that ministry of edifying and exhorting. We need to be busy at just building one another up. Think of this way. When you use your mouth to be critical or negative, God's not in that. Satan is. When you use your mouth to build up one another, encourage one another, spur one another on, which is like calling out to somebody running on a race, you can do it, you can make it, you can run, you can, look at your chicken legs, Dev, you're making it. You're like Christ. Who do you want to glorify? I prefer to glorify Christ. It's not a tough call. A lot of times, just follow your heart. Just say a little prayer, speak great things into people about who they are. Don't follow your flesh so much. Follow your heart. It's amazing how easy it is to follow the flesh. Did you know that? Sometimes we just follow the flesh. But when it comes to following the heart, it's like we get lazy, almost lethargic. We need to build people up. We need to edify them. We need to cheer them on, exhort them. We're not created to feel bad about ourselves. And we shouldn't make others feel bad about who they are. God created you to feel good about yourself. That's why this little verse, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So that we might become right with God. You see, many times a person feels so bad inside about who they are that they take up other areas that make them feel better, they think about themselves, like alcohol or drugs, could go for prescription drugs even. People get food addictions or anorexia or bulimia. And addiction to feelings. People like, well, that's a feeling. I'm talking to somebody, I love going to church on Sunday, I just feel right. You know. And then the next Sunday they phone me up and say, I didn't feel right today. You know, you get addicted to feelings. You get addicted to anything. You can. That takes the place of really how you should feel inside. And that is worthy. You can get addicted. Some people get so puffed up, they can hardly stand to be around themselves. Let alone anyone else being around them. It's a guy like Tom Selleck. He said this, he said, whenever I get full of myself, I remember that nice couple who approached me with a camera on a street in Honolulu one day. When I struck a pose for them, the man said, no, 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 we want you to take a picture of us. What I'm trying to say is this, if you don't feel good about yourself, if you're still searching for self-worth, then to be honest with you, you're miserable. And you're making everyone else around you miserable. That's as plain as I know how to say it. Are we putting this on the internet today? Is it going on the internet? It's recording. Okay, sorry about that, internet people. But anybody, if you're listening to by internet, if you don't feel good about yourself, if you have not found your worth and your value in Christ Jesus, you are miserable. Jesus didn't die for you so that you could stay miserable. He didn't die for you so that you could be, oh, I got to be bold or I got to be shy. Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy life. Amen? And anyone who's hearing this and not wearing that righteous robe that only Christ places on you, you're not enjoying your life. You get the point? William James said, if you want a quality, act as if you already have it. See, if you want a quality, act as if you already had it. If you want to be right with God, act like you are right with God. Hey, have you noticed how hard that Satan works to make you feel like there's not that there's always something wrong with you? You ever noticed that? I mean, if you pray, there's something wrong. There's something wrong with the way I prayed. If you give something, there's something wrong. I gave it wrongly, you know? If you buy something, I shouldn't have bought that. Why did I buy it? If you didn't buy it, I should have bought that. Why didn't I buy it? If you eat, you shouldn't have eaten. The devil, you see, the devil continually works to try to make us feel like there's something wrong with us. But Jesus gave his life so that we would be right with him. And that's all we need. Throughout this series, there's some things that I really believe that we need to get a hold of in our life, because it will transform the rest of our life. And I believe this is one of them. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. The Amplified Bible says, "For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in and through him we might become," then the word, "endued with." I like that. Viewed as. Write it in your Bible. Viewed as. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, I want you to write that word down real quick, because I want you to become familiar with that language. In fact, say it with me. I am viewed as right with God. Wow. Do you know what that means? That means seen as. You are viewed as being in and an example of the righteousness of God. That's what we ought to be. Seen as, proved, and acceptable, and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Now, a verse like this, you could probably meditate on it for years, and you'll still get good stuff out of it. And I could go on and on and on about this verse. And you'd be so happy with me when noon came. Self-worth is knowing that God views me as valuable. You are valuable. But self-worth is knowing that God views me as righteous. For my sake. I told you you're going to be doing lots of talking. For our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin. I want you to think about that. God took his son and made him to be sin. He didn't just put sin on him. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, for our sakes. Say, for our sakes. So that in and through him, in him and through him, in him and through him, everything that we have, every promise that comes to us out of the Bible is in him and through him. It's not in our ability. It's not in our ability to be good. It's not in our ability to keep the law. It's not in our ability to be righteous in our own works and efforts. It's in Christ and through Christ. In him and through him. Let me give you a little paraphrase of this verse. Because God is good, and for no other reason. Because God is good, and for no other reason, he has decided to see us as approved, acceptable, and in right relationship with him just because he wants to. Now, I know you'd rather have it more complicated than that, but that's all there is to it. Because God is good. I heard one of you. Because God is good. Because God is good all the time. He's decided to see me. He's decided to see you as righteous. And you know why? He cannot have fellowship with us if he doesn't see us that way. You see, God can't look at me. He can't have any fellowship with me. He cannot have anything to do with me unless somehow or another he makes me right before him. Because he is so holy. And really, compared to his holiness, we are bad. I mean, the Bible says our righteousness, whatever little we have, is like filthy rags. So think about this for a moment. He can't even look on us. How many of you have ever seen an eclipse of the sun? Anyone? Yeah, did you look at it when the moon went over top? And you know, yeah, you're not supposed to. Do you know that? You're not supposed to look at it. And in fact, I remember in school, all the teachers say, there's going to be an eclipse of the sun. It's going to be amazing. But you can't look at it. You can't look at it. You know what that meant for me? I'm going to look at it. And I remember the teacher saying, if you look at it, it's only for a split second. And scientists, astronomers say that the moon's going to come over the sun, and it's going to be just seconds, and milliseconds even, and it's going to start to pass, and as soon as the sun, boom, it's going to burn your eyes out. I looked anyway, now I wear glasses. You can't look the sun. You got to look away. But if you put on this, if you make this really neat contraption, at least that's what it was like for me when I was in grade 4 in ancient days, you make this thing in a box and put a little thing in here and filter it somehow and do it right, you know. And you can look through that and you go, I didn't want to, but I had, you know, I could put sunglasses on. Like if you had really good sunglasses that you could buy for $10.95, that was a lot at the time. You could look at the sun, you could look at the eclipse. That's like God. God cannot look on me unless he does something. Because he's good. And because he wanted to do so in order that he could fellowship with me, because that's why he created me, so he could fellowship with me. So that's what he intends to do with me. And the devil came in and tried to destroy it, but God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to buy me back, to redeem me. God said, I created you to fellowship with you, and that's what I'm going to do. Now, does that sound like junk to you? No way. You are not junk. Don't believe that lie anymore. You are someone that God loves so much that he created you, and even further, he created you so that he could fellowship with you. So he sent his only son to die for you in order that he could fellowship with you. How are you at fellowshipping with him? You see, fellowshipping means companionship. It means friendship. It means partnership. God wants that with you. Don't you want him? Don't you want him that way? If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you are made righteous. You are made right with God the moment that you believed. And that's why you see this just believe up there. Just believe. We need to believe, people. We need to believe. You are made right. You no longer have to go around feeling like there's something wrong with you. You become aware that you are right. Instead of a consciousness that there's always something wrong with you, get a righteous consciousness. The majority of God's people, there are still times when the enemy tries to attack me with this. I believe more than any other problem that God's people face, it's this root that God's people have, and that is that we're still unconscious of who we are in Christ. See, it's one thing to know it mentally. It's an entirely different thing to walk it. Fanny Bryce said this. She said, let the world know you as you are, not as you think you should be. Because sooner or later, if you are posing, you will forget the pose, and then where are you? See, it's another thing entirely to walk around on a regular basis, actually being aware that you are a child of God. I don't have to be overly concerned what's wrong with me. That doesn't mean we don't take sin seriously. We need to take sin seriously. But I need to be conscious and aware of the fact that I've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am a child of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. 1 John 5:18. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to put your hands up. How many of you woke up this morning and had a detailed list of what's wrong with you. That's no more. Today is list burning Sunday for you. Stop believing what Satan's been telling some of you for years. You're a child of the Most High King. How many of you go to bed at night making a mental list of all the failures you achieved throughout the day? That's time to stop. No more. You just say, hey, it's under the blood. You wake up, go to bed, wake up, go to bed, thinking all the failures you've done. You don't have to do that anymore. Become aware enough of who you are in Christ that you do not have to sit and take stock of what is wrong with you. Instead, fellowship with the Most High King. It's life-changing, folks. It's life-changing. Don't wait on someone else to do this for you. You fellowship with God. You do this because you can do this, not because you have to do it. Because you can. Know that you're a child of God. You see, if you keep focusing on what's wrong with you, you won't get into fellowship with God because you think you're not good enough for God. You start to believe that you're so rotten that you just can't even be in His presence. Well, I got news for you. No one is good enough for God. But He makes you good enough because He wants to fellowship with you. Amen? Amen? Say, God wants to fellowship with me. Say, God wants to fellowship with me. Say it again. God wants to fellowship with me. Do you believe that? Because I do. Do you believe that you aren't junk? That you aren't stupid? That you aren't ugly? God wants you. God created you, and He wants you. He wants to be your friend. Will you let Him? Now, don't jump and say, oh yeah, I'm a friend with God. Unless you really want to fellowship with Him. Don't taunt Him, or don't taunt yourself that way anymore. If you are consciously aware of everything that's wrong with you, then you're going to hide from God. God didn't send His only Son to die for you so that you could hide from Him all the time. He sent Jesus to die for you and for me and for everybody listening so that we could boldly come to that throne, the throne of God. You can pray to God. You can talk to Him just like you talk to your best friend. You know, a lot of problems that we might that you may be having on a day-to-day basis are created because you still need a greater revolution of who you are in Christ. God made Him, that is Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You know, as I was preparing for this morning, getting ready for this, I sat at one point and I got tears in my eyes as I realized all over again what Jesus has done for us. He alone gives us self-worth. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. In these next few hours, in these next few days, just be aware of what's passing through your mind about your worth. Just how many unrighteous thoughts you have compared to the righteous thoughts that you have. How much time you spend meditating on what is wrong with you compared to the amount of time you spend meditating on what is right with Jesus. You see, what you need to do is think everything that you have as a joint heir with Christ because Jesus earned it. And the more you keep your eyes focused on Him, the more you will become like Him. Now you know why Satan keeps you focused on your failures, wrong things in your life, your defeats. Now you know why Satan uses you to pick at others, to point out faults. And now you know why Satan gets you thinking about anything else other than how God views you. It's time to be worthy, friends. It's time to feel good about who you are in Christ. It's time to be a people of worth, because you are worthy. And while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're coming to Him this morning and you're saying, Lord, I want to focus upon You only. I'm not going to focus on my failures anymore. I'm going to focus on who You are and that I'm a child of God, the Most High King. And if you're saying that to Him this morning, that you're not, if you're making that commitment, I'm not going to focus on my failures anymore. I'm going to focus on the Most High King. Just lift your hand up. Just lift it up. Lord bless you. 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 God sees those hands. Lord bless you. God sees them. Lord sees those hands. Father, this morning, we know that at any time, at any moment, we can cry out to You. And Lord, when we're feeling worthless, all we need to do is call on Your name. Lord, Your wonderful name. That's all we need to do is cry out to You, because we are a child of the Most High King. Thank You, Father, that You see us as valuable. That's why You created us. Thank You, Lord, that you see us as right with You. That's how You fellowship with us. Thank You, Lord, for making us worthy, even though we're not worthy to be sitting before You. But we can, because You want us to. And to that we say, thank You. We praise Your name. And to You be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen.